Hi, it's Margie. And today I got to talk to Kina, who is an incredibly strong, kind, beautiful human. And we had a really nice conversation about what gets us in the door. Anyway, so I hope you enjoy it. And that's it. Here's Kina. Hi, this is Kina.
Hi, everybody.
Kina and I met, I think the first time we met, I was on the softball team, right?
The good old softball team.
The good old softball team, which I have like very intense, fun memories of.
Fun.
And my question to you is separate from softball, what was your relationship to working out or sports or being athletic at all, prior to burn?
So I actually come from a very athletic driven family. I starting at age three, started swimming competitively, playing tennis competitively, very like sports.
Where did you live?
North Haven.
Okay.
So I grew up in North Haven. My sister and I were always either at the pool or on the tennis court. But parents were coaches. So it was like, really, it was very hard to get away from, or I think my parents had a hard time separating being a coach and a parent. So there was a lot of stress. So I grew up not really loving sports. It was always like a chore.
Yeah.
I was good at sports. I played tennis in college for a D Division one school, and
Wow. What
but
school?
it University of Vermont. But
Wow.
yeah, I never, but like it was not fun anymore. So it was it
Even
became,
in University of Vermont, it
oh,
wasn't
that was fun, yes,
fun.
but tennis wasn't fun.
Yeah.
So I kind of like fell out. Like I was always working out, always going to practice or matches or meets, and I felt like it was always taking over my life. And I always was the, I think growing up, I think society was in that, and I think it's turning now, but I think society was really into that skinny bone. And I was never that,
Yeah.
skins and bones. I was always like, muscular, stronger. And I always felt like I need to work out and starve myself to get this thin. And it never happened. So I just like, said, screw it, I'm not doing this anymore. And
So when you were in college, you felt, even though you were playing Division One tennis, that physically you didn't fit the mold.
Oh, totally. Yeah, I.
How could you not eat and then play tennis?
Well, it wasn't healthy.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't healthy, and it was, it. That's all I focused on was trying to lose weight instead of trying to enjoy working out and get stronger,
Yeah.
so. Life happened. I graduated, got a job as a nurse, and just dove headfirst into working. Then you get married, and then you have kids, and then all of a sudden you're like, "What happened?" And I just feel like I lost myself. I used to be a really good athlete, and I did try working out at other places. I tried CrossFit. I didn't like it. My family's a big CrossFit family. I just wasn't, nothing wrong with it.
I
I just
don't
wasn't.
actually understand CrossFit because Stephanie mentioned that too.
It's similar to burn, but it's like a little more intense, and they use barbells,
Okay.
I think it's just, I don't know, it just seems really intense.
Yeah.
And I remember doing it and looking around saying, "What am I doing? Am I like training for the Olympics here?"
Yes.
And again, it was a little bit triggering to me. And I'm like, I don't want to feel like this again. So I stopped for a while again. And then, we moved to Fairfield, and one of the nurses I worked with, Amy, she belonged to Burn. She doesn't belong anymore. She moved to Madison, but she always talked about Burn. And so I was like, you know what? In the middle of the pandemic, right in
Yeah.
July of 2020, I was like, I'm gonna give it a shot. And the first time I went, I was like, this is amazing. I don't
What
know, it
was
just
amazing to you? I'm so curious.
it
Like,
was
'cause you're
just I
so
like
much more athletic than I was coming in. Not that I wasn't fit, but that, no, I wasn't fit at the time. I feel fit now, but when you walk through that door, like, what were you anticipating?
I didn't know what I was anticipating, but I like at that point it was just women. I really liked that. I think it's intimidating going into a gym. I remember going into the gym in college. I was just thinking about this the other day, to the weight room, and a guy actually stopped my teammate and I and said, "What are you guys doing in here? Girls don't need to come into the weight room." And we
Wow.
just, like stuff like that. And it's
Yeah.
just, you don't have to worry about anything. Like everybody's a mom there peeing their pants. Like it doesn't
Yes,
matter.
totally.
It's like a big joke there. Like who
Yeah.
cares? And I don't know. I just like it. Tara was the trainer. That was my first camp, and she was, super inspiring and supportive. And even though I felt like I was dying,
Yeah.
first couple of
God,
weeks.
that makes me feel better to hear that you were
Oh,
dying because you're like a
dying.
beacon of hope for me.
Dying. Oh, I couldn't walk for like 3 weeks. And even I still can't walk after workout sometimes. Like my legs are just so sore. I love the community, and I know that's cliche, but everyone was so supportive. And you're always surprised when a bunch of women are together, I think. You always think there's gonna be like cattiness, but I just didn't feel that. And
Yeah.
I really liked it. And
I think people, I want to talk about the community aspect because I think that when you or I say that to somebody, they assume, and maybe this is true for a group of people, that they go out, their daily function is communicating and being with one another. When in reality, what it became like my bunker mates. Like I was like,
Yeah, you're
at
in
war
it
with my
together.
body with them. And then I
Yep.
go about my business. Like it's not, I personally am not best friends with, my best
Same.
friends are not showing up there.
Right.
And there's a freedom in that because it's me against me, but I'm supported by all these other people on the same path.
Yep.
And Tara in particular, so funny. I'm not even sure if the classes that I've been in that she's been there. If she's been in the class, she's so supportive as a human. She is like an angel. She has this angelic bright beam about
Yes.
her. And I, separate of Burn, I was like, oh, who do I want to be when I grow up or can become better? It's somebody that incites that type of,
Yes.
not, it's not false enthusiasm. She's not woohooing in
No,
the
she's
back.
so, yeah, no, she's very genuine.
Totally. Genuine
Yep.
and by your side and sort of even when she sees people, she takes everybody in. I think that's part of it and makes such a great teacher. And that's one of my favorite requirements when you walk into Burn is all the trainers say hi to every single human that enters
Yep.
the space. I'm curious though, so when you went in there, I love hearing that you had 3 weeks of soreness because I have invited friends to go, and I honestly think they really try to power through. But I needed to be told by somebody at Burn when I felt like I said to, I think Heather, I said, I can't do that. And it's true, there are things that people can't do, but I did not have any ailment. It was, and she goes, well, you have to decide, is it hurting or have you just never used that part of your body before? And
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, yeah. I've never used the inner, like my inner thighs in the way that was being required of
Yeah, you
me.
forgot. You didn't even know there's a muscle there.
I didn't know. So that's the kicker is every time I go still, and I've been going for over a year and a half now, or something, a year or so, is that every time I stop for a week or stop for a few weeks or can't get back because I was sick, when I enter back in, I have at least 3 days of, oh, look what muscle I am now working.
Oh yeah.
And
No,
I appreciate that. I'm also
No,
curious.
I yeah, no, I think I just coming from an athletic background, and especially swimming, I'm used to pushing myself really
Yeah.
hard to the brink of not feeling good, but So I knew I could do it. One thing that something that you mentioned is when new people come in, it's sometimes good to have someone that you know there or just like talk to, just to like keep you accountable. Not keep you accountable, just remind you that you can do it, because it can be intimidating, walking in and seeing like Tara just like killing it. And then you just feel like, how am I ever going to get to that point? But I think that's why I like to, when I work out, I always, even if I don't know the person, I try to encourage people, face off with them, push them to pick up a heavier weight, because I think that's helpful in it. Because sometimes I don't think people know that they can do harder
So
things.
that's the other, my other favorite part is that I think we all, as humans, like play within our comfort zone a lot. And I have found, thanks to Burn and multiple, I mean, really, thanks. The funniest thing about that softball team, and basically, this is becoming a podcast about that, but is that I never knew or understood why I was showing up for it, like in theory, because I don't play softball. I'm not particularly athletic. I didn't need to get my Jones out anymore. I'd already worked out that day. I don't even know if that's a term, but when I showed up, it was the experience of something new. And there is that going there and saying, I have no idea what's going to happen when I stand out on that field. And we had some funny things happen, but there was no judgment even there. Like, it was actually nice to take the burn, my theory about burn, where you walk in and you don't know what you're capable of and you push yourself. Whether you totally succeed or not, every day if you do it, you're at things change. You grow, your body grows, your muscles grow. And I found actually applying that theory to playing softball with my burn mates helped me like kind of then apply it to the rest of my life. And also I think it inspired my children, and it inspired me towards my children when I'm watching them out in a baseball field and screaming, catch the ball or throw this or work. I had no idea what I was talking about until you're standing out there. And yesterday, I forced myself, this is a longer story that we'll not go into here, but I forced myself to do a basketball game. I, again, am never played on a court before. I have played in my cul-de-sac with my children since they're two boys for years. And at the school that I work, there was a 9th grade first faculty basketball game.
Oh, that's
And I,
awesome.
oh my God, Kina, I got it into my head that I should do it. And the reason I thought I should was I wanted to get closer to the kids. I wanted to support the idea because I love the, combining the, making a close relationship with the student faculty. Sorry. That would be my father-in-law. And then I wanted to see if I could do what I did with softball and experience the uncertainty that I know kids feel every time, like you were saying, your parents pressuring you to do something. Every time we put them in these vulnerable positions all the time, and because they're kids, we're like, just try it. Like, how many times do we just try it? Right? We don't. So, like, I was like, I'm gonna do it. Now, mind you, I've only been working at this school for a few months, so not everybody knows me. Nobody knew me. I was one of the art teachers, and I walked in, and my son dressed me in the morning, which motivated me to go. He gave me the cool shoes, cool shorts, a cool shirt. Yeah, it was super cool. And I put it on in the closet of the children's music room. Got dressed, walked out, and felt like I was dressed like a 13-year-old boy in my old lady body. And then I went. And all I have to say about the experience was it was as rewarding as every day I went to softball was. And I had so much empathy. I learned so much about what it means, the pressure. The warm up was the worst, and it really made me wish I had never walked in the door. Because the men that were there had played probably some basketball before. But Kina, I have to tell you, the Disney version is I scored a basket.
That's awesome.
Okay, of course I called it a goal, which it's not. But it was, and then I thought, I sat down and I was like, oh my God, I can't believe I get to tell my kids who were not there and my husband. And then I thought, like, it was all worth it. It was all worth it. And it was all worth it just because I now have an understanding of what I'm yelling to my kid on the sidelines. I have no idea what other people thought of my performance, but it was enough for me to know that the universe was saying, like, keep trying things. And when you were young and doing sports, if you had had other coaches beside your parents, do you think it would have freed you up to fail or freed you up to?
Yeah, I think so. Well, because that was always, I did played two very solo sports. You're in your head the entire time. It's not a team sport. So that was always my crux, or it was always, I can't lose. I can't make a mistake. I can't, I don't want to let anyone down. So I think if I had my, an outside person being a coach, I think it would have been, it let up some of the pressure. Maybe I would have enjoyed it more.
Is there a difference between, because swimming, again, I swimming was the only thing I did in addition to theater, but when I was little, and I loved it. And then I'd started doing, it was very funny. It was one of the things I started doing when I wanted to get physically fit before I walked into a gym of any kind. My dad, who's 93, swims every day.
That's amazing.
It is, and it's so good for you.
It
But
is.
I got to do it with him at like LA Fitness, and
Yeah.
I would go, and there was something, and it had something to do with the fact that my dad was in the other lane. But it was so meditative and sort of my imagination as a
Oh,
creative,
yeah.
wild.
Yeah. Oh, that's all you ha that's all you can do is sing. I would sing songs, think about things, and especially if you're, because it's a 2 hour prep, for practice, 2 hours in
And
the
all
water.
you're doing is the same repetitive motion. So was swimming different for you? I mean, I just feel like to me, swimming, when I think I aspire to do that the rest of my life, and I think it's like the most freeing thing. I'm wondering if that pivots in your brain after you've let the pressure off.
I never got back in a pool after high school. I hated swimming because of it was it, because of that reason. I was just like, I love team sports. I like being part of a team, and I because being part of a team takes the pressure off you too. So I just didn't like it. Yeah, it was a great workout. I guess it taught me how to prioritize, because between school and, practice and meets, the life lessons and all that jazz. But I wish I was taught that, like, that wasn't the end all. Like, that's not what life was just about. Like, that there's more to life than
So
sports.
how is it different now when you sh decide to show up at Burn?
Well, I, you know, when I, you know, I, when I first started Burn, I was just like all in. I wanted just to be like, just get back to my, 25-year-old. And I think I'm stronger now than I was when I was in my 20s or,
Isn't
teenage
that
years.
incredible?
And because I didn't do a lot of weightlifting and stuff, but I wanted just to kill every workout. And now, and I was getting back into that mentality. And I remember one day, Alyssa, I hurt my back last year, and Alyssa was like, you don't have to like kill every workout. I'm like, and then it really, I thought about it. I'm like, you're right. I don't. I'm coming here for me to take care of myself, for my mental health, for my self-love, self-care, some me time. And I my mindset changed last year. Just it's okay. It's gonna be okay. It's if you don't go, a lot during the week, or you take a couple days off, it's gonna be okay. And I think last year I really had a mental shift on that, and it's
That's awesome
been really
because
fun.
I sense that too. I find that what I appreciate the most about Burn, and I think it seems counterintuitive to the way we talk about it as a community. I feel like when you're in there, it's you and you, like you're taking care of yourself. And but I also know, like, I feel like there was a when any other class that I went to, whether it be at a big gym that was just an aerobics class, because it was in a presentational format, and there was a mirror and there was someone leading, and we were
Mm-hmm.
all, I, the pressure was off of me. And as a
Mm-hmm.
performer, I find, whether it be with choreography or singing or writing, if I can't trust myself, I won't be able to express myself. And I think the setup of Burn and the way it's set up requires you trust yourself enough to be able to figure out what the next move is. Like,
Right.
it's not impossible, and no one's going to hand hold your hand. But once you get through that first go, you're like, whatever, I can do it. I can do it enough that it matters and makes me feel better, even if it's not perfect, which is, I think that you realizing that, being what I, such an athlete, is that perfection isn't a part of the equation.
No, I that's always a big thing in my life. Always been a perfectionist to a fault, to the point where, I'll just scrap something if I can't get it right. And, I've had to learn to change my thinking, and again, know that it's okay if it's not perfect. It's not, the world isn't going to end. The catastrophic thinking is, I tried to, change that, and it's really helped a lot,
Well,
because
I always think, or it could work out.
yeah, it could work out. It may not. It's okay. It's not, the world is not going to end. I
And
think
how old are your kids?
seven, five, and two.
7. So they're still wee.
Yeah, they're very, yeah, they are. And I'm trying to, like, ch you know, they're, we have them playing hockey, and my husband and I both come from families where a lot of pressure on sports, and we both agreed, like, we want to make it fun for them. We don't want to push it if they don't want to do it. We want them to do something. Doesn't have to be a sport, but whatever they want to do. So that, we're kind of, trying to break the mold, generational mold here.
Yeah.
And
Well, you also live in Connecticut, where I feel like it's so sports centric. And I'm sure other states feel like this too. But for me, it was like shocking coming from Brooklyn to sense the like tunnel vision, and being an artist human, I was surprised. My kids, even though they have artistic inclinations, the group is going towards basketball, or, and but I have now finally, in like my 6th year, trying it myself. I mean, I think that's why it's something, it's muscles I need to work to understand, because it wasn't the way I was raised. Although my sister was raised similarly to you, without the pressure. We had, like, in Texas, she played basketball until she was tomato, I mean, not basketball, tennis, until she was like tomato red all day long. And she was an incredible swimmer. I mean, she's still, I mean, she's for years had muscles she never had to earn again because of the workouts she did all the way through.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is a shock, sometimes seeing how sports really, drive families with, like, going to school, holding kids back a year just because they want them to perform better in sports. It's like, it kind of baffled,
Well,
it's
that's what
baffled.
I love about your story too, because the thing is, it is what I, in the parent coaching, I'm sure you had it at a more intense level than like the rec level of a parent coaching situation. But I think even for me in theater, like directing the talent shows for kids or kids in plays, I really try, I had tried to separate myself from my expectations. Because, and I see it with parents in any, when we're dealing with our children, we're trying to comfort them, but also facilitate their careers or their, crafts and stuff. So, and it's hard. I think you really have to understand that you have to be a beginner with them too, and know that you could learn something from them, and the way we did it is not the way they're going to do it.
No,
But yeah.
I agree with that. I think I always think that what you just said about the way you did it growing up doesn't always mean it's the best way for someone else. Everyone's brain works differently. I'm always looking to improve myself. Always, if I don't believe in that saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it,
Yeah,
because
me either.
I hate that. It
Yeah.
there's always room for improvement, and there's always, I love change. I think it's really important. It helps people grow.
I love change too. I just
It's
realized that.
scary. It's scary, but I like it. To take that leap. Whether it's changing careers or trying out softball or basketball, like if you've never played, it's good for you. It makes you grow as a person.
It makes your brain grow because I mean, it makes all parts of you like, think outside the box. I think that's what I think burn, one of the things burn reminds me of when I go in there is every time it feels like enough of a challenge that it's an accomplishment when I leave, you can't phone anything in. And I think that type of like, that type of reminder daily, I think does help you access the world in a different way. And I think as women, we wear a lot of hats, and so part of what I like to think about when I think about the community, it is just like pillars. I'm standing next to like pillars of our society, all trying to just, get just a little bit stronger. And I think the physical thing, what I think, which is why we as parents promote it, is immediately rewarding. If you work at it, guess what? You will get better. And it's hard when I say to my son, the more you read, the easier it gets. Well, that's true and not true, sometimes you got to find the right story, And physical fitness is really something where if you do 10 push-ups a day,
You're gonna get stronger.
you're gonna get stronger. That day that we talked about that, I was so I was always inspired in you, like on the softball field, because you were very graceful in the way that you did everything well. But you weren't like, I don't know, you're just, I mean, you're so elegant seeming that it was just effortless, So I sort of loved hearing your own personal body struggles of like, and also your optimism of like, well, this is who I am, and this is what's happening. And I can only, really, our medical system is not built to help women post-pregnancy. They're not assisting that situation. So it's another thing that we get to just deal.
I know that's exactly when I yeah when, from with the diastasis recti, the bulge from having a kids, and the surgeon when I went to go see, she just said, unfortunately, in the United States, it's considered cosmetic. She's like, I'm not saying that what you're feeling isn't, a medical condition. It is. I know it. It's really frustrating, but
All these muscles that you try to just keep alive in your body, but like our ability to like pivot and sort of make light of situations, or sort of just enjoy the moment. What's most important is for women to know that we all n nobody is nailing everything. Everybody
No.
has a different goal, and the benefit of trying.
Yeah, trying. It's mentally, it's so helpful. I feel like it just quiets my brain,
Yeah. Hope you have a great day. You look
Yeah, you
great.
too. Thank you.
Hi again. So if you would turn your music players to Just a Girl, No Doubt, and feel the vibe of Keena working out. Thanks for listening. Bye.